The word of the Lord tonight comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 26 to 37. This is found on page 718 in the New Testament part of the Bible, if you have your pew Bibles. Mark 13, 26 to 37. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Helen. Just get myself ready. Good evening. Good to see you. In recent years, we've seen some of the wettest weather and most destructive floods ever in this country. But according to a survey last year, 69% in the Yorkshire and Humber area had never checked their flood risk. And in the northeast, it's 88% have never checked the flood risk. And only 6% said they'd know what to do if their property was flooded. They're just not prepared. An insurance company in America did a survey recently of Californians living in places prone to earthquakes. 64% said they believed a massive earthquake would hit in the next 3 to 5 years. But only 24% have earthquake insurance. They believe it's coming, although they don't know exactly when, but they're not taking precautions to be ready for it. How foolish they are, we might say. In our passage in Mark 13, Jesus tells us of something that is going to happen, and we'd be foolish not to be prepared for it. At the time of year as we're getting ready to celebrate Jesus' first coming, tonight we're thinking about his second coming, the second coming of our Lord, Saviour, and King. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians about the Lord's second coming in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, he says, encourage each other with these words. Encourage one another and build each other up. So here's your first challenge. When was the last time you encouraged someone by talking to them about how it's going to be when Jesus comes again? When did you last build a brother or a sister up by talking about the certainty of the hope we have when Christ comes again? Peter writes in his second letter, again talking about the day of the Lord, the day Jesus will return. He writes, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. He's reminding his readers, believers, and including us, of what Jesus said about his second coming. So when was the last time you reminded someone that the Lord's coming back again? It's my privilege this evening to do that, hopefully to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. If it's good enough for Paul and Peter, it's good enough for me and any of us to remind each other that Jesus is coming again, and to encourage and build each other up by considering this together. Returning back to Mark 13, you may have wondered why we haven't read the first 25 verses. There is a reason, which I hope will become clear a little later on. Suffice to say, as Roger alluded to earlier on, difficult times are here and are still to come in these last days. And by last days, I'm talking about the time between Jesus' ascension after his resurrection and between then and his coming again. Dreadful things are happening. I'm sure you'll agree as you look around this world. Disastrous things. And they'll continue to happen until Jesus comes again. I'm sure you've read this passage before and the parallel passages in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Verse 3 of chapter 13 tells us that Jesus is speaking here to disciples Peter, James, John and Andrew, and urging them and us to be on guard, be alert, verse 33. Keep watch, verse 34. Keep watch, verse 35. Watch, verse 37. You getting the message? These are not gentle words of advice from the Lord. These are commands. Notice the exclamation marks. This is serious. This is a matter of life and death. This concerns your eternity, either with him in heaven or in hell without him. This is serious. Jesus, the Son of God, says, be on guard, be alert, watch. So I hope you're listening. We're going to focus on verses 32 to 37 by asking some questions. And firstly, what are we to watch for? What are we to watch for? Jesus tells a parable in verses 34 to 37 about a house owner going away for a while, and those left in charge of the house, his servants, are to watch for his return. The meaning, I'm sure you'll agree, is straightforward. Jesus is coming back, like it says in verse 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he'll send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This is what we're to watch for. Jesus coming back in power and glory to take his followers to be with him forever. That day will be the perfection and the fullness of the salvation he won for us as he died on the cross for our sins and rose again victorious over death. We're only here for a relatively short time, and then he'll collect his followers to take them to eternity with him. This will be the fulfillment of his promise in John chapter 14, where Jesus talks of a house owner again. John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus, at this very moment, is preparing a place where he is, in heaven, where God lives, Father, Son, and Spirit. And he says, I will come back again. This is his promise to all who believe in him for salvation. I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. This is what we're watching for, the day when Jesus comes to take us to be with him. So watch. But what then? Where will we be taken to? That day will bring the fulfillment of God's promise in Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 18. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. Go home and read Isaiah 65, 17 to 25, and see where he's taking us and what it'll be like there. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, it's the home of righteousness, the home of righteousness, home for those who are the sons and daughters of God, those who are in a loving relationship with him. That's what we're to watch for. The day when he comes again to take us to be with him, to take his followers to a new heaven and a new earth for us to be with him forever. Are you excited about that? Does that make you excited? If you're a follower of his, that's where he's coming to take you to. Are you watching? Are you ready? But some of you may be thinking, why do we have to keep watch? Surely it'd be a lot easier if we could live our lives without having to be on guard all the time. Second question, why do we have to watch all the time? If we knew when he was coming, we could be sure we're ready. Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, has purposely withheld this information from us. Look at verse 32 of Mark 13. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor even the Son, but only the Father. No one knows when Jesus will return. The exact time hasn't been made known. Just think for a moment how wise God is in not telling us. You know what we're like. If we knew the day, we'd put off getting ready, wouldn't we? Until the night before. If we knew the day, we'd write the date in the diary or tap it into our smartphone and then push it to the back of our mind until we turn the page of our diary over or until our phone reminds us that it's happening. And then we'd dash around like headless chickens getting ourselves ready. Like the teenager, thinking he's grown up and he wants a party at home without his parents there. If he knows they're coming back at midnight, he and his friends will start clearing up the mess at 1:45 at the earliest. But if he doesn't know, they'll make sure that the place is in a state that'll be acceptable one way or the other, whatever time they came back. And I can see some faces recognizing that in their past. God knows what we like. If he told us he's not coming until 4016, how would we feel? Pretty despondent, I guess. We'd think, why bother getting ready at all? Wouldn't we? No, we've got to watch because we don't know when the owner of the house will return. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Unfortunately, thieves and burglars don't tell us when they're going to break in. That has spoiled their fun. They come when you least expect it. So we've got to be aware. Take all precautions that we're not caught out at any time. Have an alarm. Lock the windows and doors. Put the CCTV on, if you're posh. The consequence of not knowing when Jesus will return should be the same. We need to be in constant state of readiness. Verse 36. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. This is why I've not spoken in length about the signs we see before the Lord comes, because that's not the point. We can see the signs mentioned in verses 1 to 22 now. There have been wars right from the first century. Man seems to have an insatiable appetite for power. That's the state of the human heart. And as a result, our world is corrupted and polluted. We see wars and earthquakes and false prophets now. But we shouldn't get tempted by them to spend time, energy and effort trying to predict when he's coming. That's not what God wants. We're to put all our time and energy and effort into making sure we're ready whenever he comes. Be on guard. Be alert. Keep watch and keep watching. We're to live lives ready to meet him, always, expecting him at any moment. And this should be motivated by a desire to walk closely with God. So here's the great challenge this evening. Are you ready at all times to meet him? Whenever he comes. Next year, next month, tomorrow, tonight. Has that got you worried? Are you watching? Are you ready? You might think, well, why would you not be watching? If you understand what Jesus' second coming is all about and the great things that will happen on that day and afterwards, surely you'll want to be ready to leave with him, won't you? You'll be watching and waiting with eager expectation, won't you? Will you? Are you? Why would you not be watching? Of course, you may not be watching because you're not a believer. You're not a believer on these things. We were on holiday in October in Sussex, and our neighbours were 5 alpacas. You can just about see them. Most of the day, they grazed away happily in the field, but if they heard a sound, their heads would shoot up. As soon as we opened our curtains in the morning, you had 10 eyes looking straight at you. If you went out, they would be with you. Their head would follow you. If you arrived home in the afternoon after a day out in the car, they'd wander over and have a look. Their eyes would be fixed on us immediately. They were certainly watching and alert. But see the brown one in the middle? If you don't recognize Jesus as Savior, that he died on the cross to bring forgiveness for your sins, if you haven't come to him in repentance and faith, you're like the brown alpaca, head down, enjoying the delicious grass, nothing else going on. You're all right. You got no need to watch for Jesus coming because you don't believe it's going to happen. This is God's word. This is Jesus, the Son of God, speaking to all of us. I urge you to look into this. Jesus promises, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. That's John 5:24. Don't be like that alpaca, happily grazing on what this world gives. Look up and be aware of what Jesus gives. Or perhaps we listen too much to our culture nowadays that's saying, if it's not happening now, why bother thinking about it now? 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 says, first of all, you must understand that in these last days, scoffers will come. They'll say, where's this coming? Where's this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything has gone on as it has since the beginning of creation. Jesus hasn't come back for the last 2,000 plus years. Why expect him in our lifetime? He won't come back any day soon. What's the rush? Perhaps we've been taken in by these scoffers. Perhaps we've listened too much to the culture around us. God chooses the time. Peter tells us he's being patient. He wants to give everyone the opportunity to turn to him and be saved. He takes no delight in the death of anyone. He'll come when the time is right for him. God spoke creation into being with a word. So Jesus can return in a split moment. On an otherwise normal day, sun will rise in the morning, children will go to school, people will go to work and do the shopping. Jesus will return on that day. No signs, no announcement the day before, like a thief in the night. Or perhaps we've been fashioned by today's thinking, why should God keep me waiting? I want to be in control. I want to know what I'm doing each day. My diary is full already, without having to fit something else in when I don't even know when it's going to happen. How inconvenient. How insensitive of God to expect me to be ready at all times. That's the way people think today, isn't it? They want to be in control. Being asked to be ready at all times just isn't acceptable in our lives today. It's just not on God. You fall into that. Perhaps we've grown complacent or cold. In Revelation 3 and verse 16, Jesus warns the church in Laodicea, doesn't he, about their lukewarmness, that he'd spit them out of his mouth. Perhaps we're not sure that it'll come back at all. How awful it'll be when he comes back, if you're not ready, and he says to you the words of Matthew 7:21, I never knew you. Perhaps we're enjoying our lives so much now, there's still so much for us to experience. Marriage, children, all those lovely holidays to far-flung places. Perhaps we're just too busy to give it any thought, never mind being ready to go. Jesus gives us a strong warning here. You don't know the time, so always be on guard. Watch. Don't be caught out. Don't be found sleeping, because the consequences will be disastrous. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. There's no second chance. There won't be a third coming. We're either ready to meet him on that day and we'll go with him, or we're not, and we face judgment and destruction. Are you trusting fully and only in Jesus for salvation? Are you looking forward to being with him in heaven forever? Which are you going to choose, salvation or destruction? Choose wisely. We've got to watch and be ready. Finally this evening then, how do we do this? How are we to watch? How are we to watch? What does our parable in Mark 13 tell us about being on guard and keeping watch? It says watch. Be on guard. Be alert. Keep watch, Jesus says. The house owner's gone away for a while, and we're to live always on guard, watchful, alert. You may have seen the Premier Inn advert saying each room has a hypnos bed. Hypnos is the Greek for sleep, giving us the word hypnosis, where you just pop off to sleep for a while. The word translated as alert in verse 33 comes from the same root, but from the Greek word agrypnia, meaning sleeplessness, sleeplessness. When Jesus tells us to be alert, he's saying, stay awake, If we're asleep, we can't keep watch, and we're certainly not on guard. We have to stay aware. We've got to have our wits about us. We have to be waiting for and looking forward to the good, but also alert to the bad. Because there are a lot of distractions around us, lots demanding our attention, making us take our eye off the ball. Peter tells us, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 5 and verse 18. He's saying, there's the devil prowling around like a lion, and if we don't watch out, he's going to destroy us. In John 8, Jesus says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, a liar, the father of lies. He wants nothing less than to murder, than to destroy. He'll lie to us. He'll say Jesus isn't coming back. Live life to the full now. This is all there is. Like he said to Eve in the garden, you won't surely die. He's a liar. Be alert. Watch for the good. Jesus is coming again. But also be aware of the bad. The devil's at work, trying to persuade you not to be ready. Don't let your guard down. But how do we make sure we don't? Well, steep yourself in his word. Steep yourself in his word. Read it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. How many Bibles have you got? How about having one to hand in the living room so that when a program comes on that you know isn't wholesome, you can just turn the television off, reach out and take up the word and start reading? How about having one in the kitchen? So while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, the toast to burn, the chicken to roast, you can just dip into the word. What about in the bedroom? For just before you close your eyes, and just after you open them again. Spread the word around your house. Get used to opening the Bible so it becomes natural to pick up the nearest one. Steep yourself in the word. How do we get to know someone so well that we can almost know what they're going to do and when? How do we do that? By staying close to them. By talking to them often. We need to be in close fellowship with the God who loves us and who we love in return. We need to be in communication with him. Enjoy close fellowship with him. Get into the habit of praying continually. Stay close to God and watch. So read and pray like there's no tomorrow, because there might not be. Be alert. Verse 36 tells us, if he returns suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Don't let him find you sleeping when he returns. No spiritual sleepwalking. Don't spiritually live in your pajamas. Don't even yawn. Watch. Keep reminding yourself when he's coming. When you get a new diary for Christmas, why not go through picking random dates here and there and just writing in, is he coming today? Is it today? Just to make sure you don't forget. It's so easy to doze off. And keep reminding each other. Keep each other on the ball. That's part of our loving relationship and responsibility to each other. Keep watch. So, are we just supposed to stand there watching, waiting, gazing into the skies? No. As well as watching, we're to work. As well as watching, we're to work. Jesus expects to find us working when he returns. Look at verse 34. The house owner leaves his house in charge of his servants, each one with his assigned task. Each with his own task. We're not to stand staring into space or watching the clock or sitting twiddling our thumbs as we wait. Our Lord has set us tasks to be doing in the meantime. Yes, we're supposed to be watching, but at the same time, we're to be doing his work, fulfilling the tasks he's assigned to us. We're accountable to him. And this is another way that we stay close to God, by doing his work, by doing his will. Like Jesus, when he was on earth, kept saying he was doing the work and will of his Father. So should we. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 what this means in general terms as we look forward to Jesus coming back. In verse 11 he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Verse 14, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This should be our aim. This should be our motivation, to live lives which honour God, where we live for him, becoming more like our Lord Jesus, where we serve him, spread the good news about him, where we take every opportunity to explain the hope that we have. We live at peace with God, knowing that we are living lives pleasing to him. We each have an assigned task. In the household of God, we have different tasks, but as we do those tasks, together we maintain the house. The family functions. We keep the home running. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're like a body, each part with a different function. But if one doesn't play its part, the whole body suffers. At this point, can I just say, if you're listening to this online, if you're not here amongst us this evening, we've missed you. We're missing you. When Jesus returns, he expects to find us playing our part. Don't forget he could come at any time. Don't think there's no urgency to get the job done. Don't put it off. Be found doing God's work, so that whenever he comes, we know he'll be pleased with us. Is there anything you're doing now that you'd be unhappy for him to find you doing? What would you change about today if you did know he was coming tomorrow? Jesus is telling us to be ready, watching, alert, on guard. He's not saying we have to understand everything fully, because we won't. Our human minds aren't big enough. He's not asking us either to be perfect, because none of us is. Until perfection comes, when Jesus comes again, then his people will be like him, fit to live with him in heaven forever, in a new heaven, in a new earth. He doesn't ask us or expect us to be those things now. But how's your heart? Where's your greatest desire? In pleasures now or in the life to come? Peter says, in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. Are you ready for that? But you might be thinking, I don't know if I'm ready or not. I just don't know whether I'm ready or not. How can we know that we are ready? There's one sure way. Can you pray these three words from your heart honestly? Can you pray, come, Lord Jesus? Can you pray that right now and mean it? Be on guard. Be alert. Watch. Because no one knows about that day or hour. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, these words that he said, my words will never pass away. Jesus said these things. Verse 23 says he's told us these things ahead of time. So are you ready? Please think. Please examine yourself. Please get ready. He is coming. Let's pray. Father in heaven, do pray that these words this evening will make us think about these things more and more each day. Help us to search our hearts. Help us to examine our thoughts, our motivations, the way we work, the way we act, the way we live each day. And we pray, Father, that you would make us ready. You'd make us prepared to meet with you. Please be at work in our hearts by your Spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen. So we've seen Jesus will come to take his people to a new heaven and a new earth. Peter calls it the home of righteousness, the home of those who are right with God. But is it your home? Are you excited about going there? Are you doing all you can to be ready to go? Are you running to meet him?